Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. I'm just looking at my recording because I'm recording here on the phone, and you know how it says, gives a list of what you've recorded and how long it took over the last few days. And I'm looking Saturday, 5 seconds, and then the 3rd of December, 11 seconds, day before that, 38 seconds, 55 seconds, another 55 seconds, and so on and so forth. So what that means is that I've been having little insights into the novel that I'm working on, and often at times when I don't have a pen and paper handy, and so I'm just speaking these snippets into my phone. I have no idea what they are. I'll go back later and have a look and have a listen and see what I've captured in there, and then I'll write that into my notes, collection of notes that I keep. And some of them are, sometimes when I'm writing notes, you know, ideas for a book, I'll actually end up writing almost a whole chapter, certainly an entire scene. It'll just stay in the notes section until it finds a home or not. It might be just a scene that gives me insight into the characters or insight into which way I might want to or not want to go. So that can happen when you're just scribbling notes and ideas. It can actually end up with a whole scene. So that's pretty cool. So what's this podcast about? So the last podcast that I did last week was, I mentioned in there that I would pop in and say, hooray, hurrah, and happy Christmas and all that sort of stuff. So that's what this little podcast is all about. It's just a wind up for 2023. I wonder if you're going to do some kind of closure circle or something around New Year. That can be a really nice thing to sort of sit down with your journal and light a candle and perhaps, you know, do some kind of little ritual to help you reflect on the year that's gone past. One of the things that can help when you are reflecting is, you know, to flick through your journal and see what's actually gone on, because I don't know if you're like me, I can't remember mostly what's going on, only sort of key moments, and often there, you know, you remember the tough stuff and you forget that there was a gazillion beautiful things that went on throughout the year. If you keep a monthly circle, which is a thing I do in my journal, although I haven't done one for the last couple of months, I've got to admit to that. But I do really like myself when I do a monthly circle. So my monthly circle is just, I draw or paint, you know, a big circle in my A4 sketchbook, and then I just write really nice little things that have happened. You know, I put little circles inside the big circle and just write, you know, had a coffee at SAFS, or had a phone call with Emma, or, you know, anything that really made me happy. And I'll put love hearts and things, you know, like a teenager all around, all that sort of stuff. And big things, you know, went to Melbourne and bought, I don't know, a new car. I didn't do that, but, you know, that's a big thing to me. I would put that in my monthly circle. All right. Or went to the movies, you know, even things that seem like just living your life, they're not. They're absolute blessings. They're gifts to be able to do these things. And so they go into my monthly circle. And then, you know, then you have this record that's not some long, drivelly diary of, you know, like because diaries can get, especially for writers, you know, we can get a bit pretentious and silly, and we try to write them, and then it's not fun, you know. So a circle, a monthly circle with little circles inside of it, just snippets of what you did, it's amazing. When you look back, you go, oh, that's right, we did this thing, and we went here. Oh, that's right, we had a picnic down by the lake that night just for like 2 hours or an hour, you know, something that you at the time you really enjoy, but you forget very quickly. And yet it's really is these little things are they're the essence of life. So they go into the monthly circle. And then if you do a closure circle at the end of the year, a little ritual, part of that ritual can be flicking back through your journal and pulling out those monthly circles and seeing what you did each month and being grateful for that and keeping a record of that, like sands through the hourglass, hey? What else did I want to say to you, dear listener, today? I am back writing, clearly, if I'm writing, grabbing snippets for this novel. And I talked about that in the last podcast. And at the weekend, I went to a book launch, Carmel Bird, who's a very highly esteemed author, Australian author, adult fiction, wrote a picture book. It's not her first, I see. She did have a picture book come out in 2012, which seemed to get a lot of love as well. So this is her second picture book, but I went along to the launch and it was beautiful, and saw some other people there that I know, other writerly types and bookshoppy types, and it was really nice to connect in real life in that sort of environment again. And I got to buttonhole Carmel. She's like, who is this mad woman? And thank her for inspiring me many, many, many moons ago when I had her as a teacher. She was an emergency teacher in a creative writing course that I was doing, and she was filling in on that night. And something she said to me that night, and I can't even remember exactly what it was, but it was the way that she said it and the way that her and I connected, and it was, I just got this really strong feeling that, oh, okay, I'm a writer. Right? Isn't it weird that your perception of yourself? She helped me to see myself as a writer in this thing that she said, and that in turn helped me to stick with the project that I was working on, which at the time was my first novel, which was Tenzi Farlow and the Home for Mislaid Children. So I really do feel like that was a turning point, and yet it felt so small. And of course she didn't know who I was, and she didn't even remember the class, but she was lovely, and I just wanted everybody to go away so I could have a cup of tea with her, but that didn't happen because she was signing books. But anyway, that was really inspiring. And then my friend, who is a writer, and we have been mates forever, 30 or so years, texted me and said, I hope Carmel Bird inspired you again to keep writing. So it's like I've got a little accountability buddy there prompting me to keep going. But I also, because I was feeling so inspired, and because I've been sort of gearing up to this and thinking a lot about the isolation of being a writer, and you know, sort of, I've kind of been quite content with that over the years. It hasn't been a major issue for me by any means. I mean, because I am an introvert, which doesn't mean I'm shy, as you know. It just means I like to be alone. I find my own company very entertaining, and I also you know, I find people quite perplexing and quite exhausting, so I don't have a lot of energy. I just, to be around people for long periods of time, it really depletes me, and it leaves me a little bit confused because people are weird, aren't they? I don't know, I just can't. Some people say they hate to be alone because so much comes up, like they have to face themselves and face their inner demons, and so they make their lives really busy and jammed with other people and distractions. But I'm the opposite. I'm completely happy on my own, but when I'm out around other people, that's when I start, my demons come up, because that's when I start to, you know, second guess myself and think I've said the wrong thing, or I've done the wrong thing, or I haven't responded in the correct way, or I've hurt somebody's feelings, or, you know, like I tend to be, that's when it's around people where I feel really tested. And so it occurred to me that I need to be around people more, because I need to test myself more, and I need to test those theories and put them at rest, because they're just nonsense, aren't they? Like, seriously, so much of it is nonsense that goes through your head. It's just, I read this thing the other day. It's really, really stuck with me, that says your ego doesn't love you. The ego doesn't love you. It's like, oh my God. No, it doesn't. Because if my ego loved me, it would be good to me and nice to me. It would help me be calm and loving towards myself. But it doesn't. You know, my ego undermines me. My ego drives me. My ego pushes me. My ego second guesses me. My ego, you know, jumps in. Even the smallest of things that you want to do, the ego jumps in and goes, oh, I don't know if you should do that, you know. Lots and lots of thoughts of things. I mean, this is a pit that we could easily fall into talking about this. But, yeah, so your ego doesn't love you, so your ego will probably give you pretty skewy advice constantly throughout the day. So I feel like I need to be around more people, and that's going to be my little thing for 2024 that I'll play with. A little bit more contact. And part of that, what has been this week, I have started a writers group. So, you know, in real life, IRL, writers group. So I hate to say it, because everyone says, I'm super excited. I am, but I'm really excited. I've gathered together a few beautiful, beautiful people, all at different stages of their writing journey, but all with the same passion and commitment. And we're going to be meeting once a week through in 2024 to hang out together and work together in a sort of a co-working space, just for an hour or two once a week. And that was partly inspired by a conversation that we had in the duck pond last week in our final office hours for 2023, was some of the duckies in the group were sharing about their writers groups and the groups that they're in, and how nurturing they are and how rewarding they are. And also brought to my attention, I for some reason, I never really realised that there's a difference between a writers group or writing group and a critique group. But there is. So a critique group is literally, you know, when you come along and you share your work and the others critique it. Vomit. That's just not something I could do. If you do that, then good for you, because I know that a lot of people love that and they really work well with that, but that is not something that would suit my personality. I like to work in isolation and in quiet, and just have, you know, my faithful reader, which is himself, and then, you know, a publisher or editor to work together on it. But if I was to get other people critiquing my work, I would get into such a knot. I don't think I'd be able to keep moving forward, because I'd be second guessing myself all the time. But that's just who I am as a writer, you know. And others really benefit from being critiqued and being critiqued regularly and getting the input of others. And they take it on board and they make it work. So no shade if you're in a critique group and it's working for you. And if you're into that kind of thing, or you think you might like it, then, you know, go for it. You know, take the lead. Find some people. Get a critique group going if that's what you want. Anyway. And the other thing is, but a writer's group is basically just a group of writers getting together and working. And it's like an accountability group. And it just gives you, you know, for me, it's the idea of having this sort of anchor and having a place to go once a week and seeing people once a week that are going through the same kinds of ups and downs as you are, and connecting with them and just, you know, sharing, being in the boat together, you know. So that's what we're doing next year. We're starting a writers group, and we'll have a meeting. The first meeting will just be a coffee where we'll get together and we'll talk about, you know, how we want to run the group. And then we'll be up and running. As easy as that. I have to suss out a room. I think I can get it. Hopefully I'll be able to get a room at a local library and whatnot, and just secure that. But even if we can't get into the library, there's other spaces. So that'll be all good. So that's part of my commitment to being a little bit more in the real world and less in the fantasy world that is my head in 2023, and bringing a little bit more balance in. So I'm really looking forward to that. And again, it's part of, for me, it's part of the re-emergence after the last couple of years of declaring that I wasn't going to write again, and giving myself that break for a couple of years to realise what's important to me, what's nourishing for me, and what it is that I want to keep doing or I want to do moving forward. So I feel like it's been a long break has been very healing for me and really helped me get perspective. It's also allowed for other things to flow into my life, and in a roundabout way, the other things that have flowed into my life have contributed hugely to my healing. So that can only be a good thing. Now, to finish up on, someone in the duck pond this week asked three questions. What is, and she asked it of all of us, but of me as well, what is my favourite book on spirituality? What is the name of the deck that I do my creativity oracle readings from every month? I do a full moon oracle reading in the duck pond, and she wanted to know what deck I use for that. And favourite book on creativity. So they were the three questions. What's your favourite book on creativity? What's your favourite spiritual book? And what is the name of the decks that you use? So I thought I'd share them with you too, dear listener. So, of course, it's really hard to have favourites, isn't it, of any of these things. But, you know, if it was desert island stuff, I would say probably in the scheme of things, my favourite book on spirituality is, of course, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, not only because it had a profound effect on me, but it continues to. So I've had my copy forever. I don't know how long. Many, many. Is it a couple of decades now? I don't know. It's a long time, at least a decade. And it is one of those books I can keep going back to, and not only keep going back to, but keep going back to and being surprised. Like, he still says things that are so fresh, they come across as so fresh every time you read them, that it's surprising. So that's, and I find also have found The Power of Now to be extremely practical. But the other thing I found going forward with my spiritual journey is that The Power of Now is a fantastic primer. Because having studied The Power of Now and lived The Power of Now, it's made other more, I don't want to use the word complex, because spirituality shouldn't be complex, but more, esoteric perhaps, readings. It's made them make more sense because of having the grounding and the experiences that I gleaned from Eckhart Tolle. Having had them, it's made other more esoteric readings make sense. So I found Eckhart Tolle to be just beautiful. A New Earth, that's sort of in my car at the moment, and you know, if we're stopped somewhere and, you know, I'm waiting in the car for something or someone, I'll have a dip into that that just happened by accident, but it's really nice. I love looking there across and seeing the new earth just sitting there. So anyway, that would be probably my favorite spiritual book of a gazillion. But The Power of Now is incredibly profound. The deck that I use every month in the duck pond, or nearly every month, except when I get into a mood and feel like the duckies need to hear from another deck. But the basic deck that I use every month for the full moon reading is just called the Creativity Oracle, Visions of Enchantment to Guide and Inspire Magic Makers. And that's by Amy Zerner, Zerner, and Monty Farber. And I'll put this in the show notes for you in case you're interested. It's a very big deck. It's got 80 oracle cards, so it's a big one, a big posh one, but it's beautiful for creativity because it's aimed solely at that. And each card has a message already on it, and an image, and then of course it has a lovely big book to go with it. So that's the Creativity Oracle by Zerner and Farber. And the other deck that I pull from regularly, or have done of the last few rounds, is the Goddess Love Oracle by Wendy Andrew. So I often just pull the wild card from that. We do a wild card as part of our reading. And so I often pull from Goddess Love Oracle by Wendy Andrew. That's a rock pool. Those of you who know decks would know that rock pool are sort of the big daddies of the oracle deck world. And it's beautiful. And it's very woodlandy. It's got a real woodland feel. You know, owls and robins and foxes and all that sort of stuff. But also beautiful, beautiful imagery of different goddesses from around the world. So that's a gorgeous one if you want to check that out. Can you hear me clonking around? Because I actually got the box in front of me. I need to stop that because it's probably really distracting noise for you. Goddess Love Oracle by Wendy Andrew. So there are three little things that you might find. Did you want to follow up? Or you might be nodding and saying, yeah, you're across all that stuff. Probably you are. No, hang on, that's not three. There's still one to go, isn't there? My favourite creativity book. And that would have to be, hands down, of course, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Many, many, many of you have already read that or have worked with that book. It is, you know, you sign a contract and it's a like a little course. I think it's 9 weeks, is it? But it was, it turned my life upside down when I read it 100 years ago. And it stayed in print now. And the reason it stayed in print is because it's stayed relevant. And it's powerful and deeply nourishing. The Artist's Way is, and, you know, it's like, because of the way it's laid out, it's just a whole collection of little essays under certain topics. And of course, Julia Cameron just goes straight to the heart of the artist. And it speaks to artists of all types, whether you're a writer or a visual artist or a photographer or a dancer or an actor, it talks to the creative spirit. And so that would be the one that I would recommend. There are so many beautiful, beautiful books out there on creativity, and I've talked a lot about different ones over the years. There's bound to be videos over on the Girl and Duck channel where I go a bit more deeply with more books. There's another one out at the moment called The House of Joy, and I haven't read it myself, but I have heard very good things about that. And that is by Holly Ringland, who we're hoping to have as a guest in the Duck Pond next year, actually. So, everyone's been raving about that one. But again, like Eckhart Tolle, the Julia Cameron, you know, The Artist's Way, it's a foundational book. You know, everything else can sort of jump off it. But to me, you know, if you're in Creativity 101, Not that the artist's way is simplistic, it's not, but if you know, if you're in creativity 101 or you've lost your mojo or you never found it in the first place but suspect it actually might be there somewhere underneath all your conditioning, then the artist's way is the one to get. Like, you can't go wrong with that one. So that is the answer to those three beautiful questions that we had this week. So that's what's going on there. Now, what else is happening today? I have a 1 o'clock. This is, here you go, day in the life. So this morning, I've already been into town. I've been into Castlemaine. I went out for a coffee. I took my manuscript. I did a little bit of editing on the hard copy, had a few more ideas and a few insights into a few more things and scribbled them down. Then I went to the supermarket, the IGA, and bought 2 bottles of, I don't know, ridiculous hot sauce that himself wants. So I thought I'd put them in with his Christmas presents because he just loves that sort of stuff. The first one is called Sudden Death Sauce with ginseng, and it's literally in a coffin-shaped box. This is how ridiculous this stuff is, with a giant jalapeno and a skull. And the other one is Jalapeno Death Sauce with tequila. Feel alive. Same brand. The second one isn't in a coffin. It's just in a normal box. Anyway, I thought, I saw himself admiring them and loving up on them the other day, and I thought, oh, they'll go into a little Christmas hampery thing for him for Christmas. So I got them, and then I came home, and now I'm talking to you, and then at 1 o'clock I've got a phone call, final meeting with the bank, which is all to do with our studio renovation, which is all going really, really well. And we have a skeleton shed in the backyard, totally naked, but looking really good. So that's all underway. The builder isn't here today though, because he can't, his offside is not around, so he's taking a day off our project and working on something else. But that's how it works, isn't it? So that's fine. And anyway, it's going to be 34 today. It's going to be a stinker. It's already really hot, so I wouldn't expect anyone to work outside in this, honest to goodness. And so that's happening. And then after the phone meeting, I might do a little bit more writing. I've been doing a bit more drawing lately too, which has been really fun. And then I've got a 4 o'clock final coaching call for the year. I'm coaching somebody at 4 o'clock, which is really lovely. I do creativity consults. I do them now and then. I don't keep the website up to date. I'm sorry. But, you know, if ever you want a creativity consult, just hit me up. I'm around. I don't push these things or, you know, I just know that if you want something like that or you want something extra from me, that you'll reach out, because I feel like people know me by now, you know. And also I don't like doing a song and dance and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, so I've got a 4 o'clock creativity consult, which I'm really looking forward to. I really love them. And then, I don't know, then it's all probably be time to get out and rescue the garden after a blaringly hot day. There's a lot of watering to do at the end of days like this. So, my love, that's me. Oh, one more thing. I did want to thank those of you who have subscribed to the podcast, shared the podcast, left comments or DM'd me to say, or put stuff on Facebook or Instagram to say how much you've enjoyed it. And also a few of you have even included the Girl and Duck podcast in their sort of end of year roundup of a favorite podcast. And that's just like so, so sweet. And I'm just really chuffed to see that. It's really nice of you to do that. And I'm glad that you get something out of it, because I absolutely do. I love podcasting. It's so non-pressure, and it helps me to put some coherence to my thoughts as well. So that can only be a good thing. Oh, I just remembered, I'm interviewing Nerida McMullen in a couple of days' time too. So I need to finish her beautiful middle grade book, which is called Evie and Rhino. It's so, I haven't read anything like it. It's very, very, it's just so tender. It's a beautiful book. So I'll aim to get that finished by the time I have the interview with her on Thursday afternoon. But if I don't finish the book, I'm sure she'll forgive me. I know enough of it now to have a strong sense of what it's all about and to be able to carry an interview. And but I won't only be interviewing Nerida about Evie and Rhino, of course. I'll be interviewing her about her whole creative journey and her other picture books that are also divine. And just about her process and where she's at lately. So that'll be Thursday morning. I'll do that. So that will probably be up on the channel. I don't know, what's the date? Anyway, it'll be up before Christmas. So that'll be really nice too for you guys if you want to have a bit more of the girl and duck world before Christmas. So that's going on. All right, I'm going to go. And thank you again for being part of this little journey, for being in the boat with me, as I like to say. Sometimes we're in calm waters, aren't we? And sometimes we're getting thrown about on great big waves and untrustworthy currents, but we seem to stay afloat. And that's the main thing. To all of you from Girl and Duck, I want to wish you a very happy Christmas and a restful, happy holiday, if indeed you are having a holiday, and send you all the blessings of this festive season. Thank you for being with me, and I'll see you again soon. Bye. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.